Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Power to the You listeners and Rise to Win fans and friends of Blog Talk Radio. I am Sandra Bueno, and I am coming to you live from Miami Beach, Florida. Our show is regularly scheduled to air out of West Palm Beach. However, today I am out on the road, and I will be concentrating this show to bring about an awareness and a guest who is very high up on my list because of the organization that they represent within our community and serving youth and the at-risk specifically. Today's half-an-hour show will be featuring Urban Youth Impact, and this is a community-based organization that provides outreach opportunities, education, leadership training. It provides a haven for youth to come in the community and find a place of not just belonging, but a place to grow in and a place to find themselves, find people who truly care about their well-being and encouraging them to go forward. And what else is beautiful about this organization is that it also has a major faith-based component. So youth are able to come and be moved, inspired, be given a phase of hope and of understanding. So with me today, I have the program director, Pam Newsom, and I would love to introduce her as she is someone who very much is involved, along with Bill Hobbs, who is the founder. Just a few months ago, I actually participated in being able to work with some of the students at a training seminar that I delivered to them. So it is with great pleasure that I bring aboard Pam. Pam, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. Good afternoon, Pam, and welcome to Rise to Win for Our Youth Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I know that with the Thanksgiving right now, there's a lot of goings-on, and it's just great to have you on and just really help you with to bring awareness to what it is that you are doing and the community endeavors and projects that you're involved with. So I would love to just get some background so that the rest of the audience can listen to your great organization and what you're doing to make a difference for our youth.
Sure, absolutely.
Well, basically, I'll ask you some of the questions. The questions that I will be covering are basically, what is your organization?
Well, we are Urban Youth Impact, and we are located in West Palm Beach, Florida. And our mission is to love, equip, and empower inner-city youth and their families to fulfill their God-given purpose. And we really try to provide a holistic range of services that I'm sure we'll talk in detail about to really equip students living in our community, our inner city communities in West Palm Beach, to achieve their potential.
And when people speak about inner city, what specifically is described under that?
Well, we primarily serve two communities located near downtown West Palm Beach, the Tamarind Avenue community, as well as the Pleasant City community. And these are two communities that, for instance, by census tract definition, are described as low income. By FBI definition, are described as high crime, high risk areas, where students, you know, are more likely to see probably guns than someone doing homework after school. So that's kind of the area that 11 years ago our founder and CEO, President Bill Hobbs, was really felt called to come and work with.
And that's something that's incredible because it has brought about a lot of change, most recently with the new building, the Dream Center that you have, as well as the clinic that's on your grounds.
That is correct. Go ahead. For the last 11 years, we had always been tenants and renting space and from different programs and buildings in the community. And so this is the first full school year that we actually have been able to move in and utilize our brand new Dream Center, and complete with computer lab and classrooms and an arts dance area. And so the students are very, very excited about being in that building, and they've done a great job of being good caretakers of it, and I really look forward coming each day. Additionally, as you mentioned, we do have the partnership with the Community Health Center that is located upstairs.
Okay, and the Community Health Center, how does that serve the community as well? In what capacity?
Well, many of the families living in our community, and I was quite surprised by this, don't have any form of medical insurance, not even Medicaid, and some don't qualify because they work. There's a number of reasons why they may not qualify, and the community health clinic is set up to serve those individuals who do not qualify for Medicaid, may not be employed and don't have employer-offered health insurance, don't qualify for any kind of assistance through the county system here in Palm Beach County. And so they really see those individuals on a one-time basis. They'll come in and kind of assess the situation. Again, they're not really, they will do school physicals, but they're looking more to get people in there who have, either acute or chronic situations where they can meet the need and then find out if the person actually does qualify for some other form of medical coverage. And that, I think, is the neat thing, because then what you're doing is you're not having the same group of 300 people visit the practice on a weekly basis. You're having 300 come in, and then, say, out of that group, 85 of them can actually qualify for Medicaid, another 20 can go through the county system, and then you're kind of opening up those slots for new people to meet the needs. So it's been very valuable for our families, because as you know, it's hard for a student to be able to learn if they have a toothache or if they need glasses, and so those are some of the needs that the clinic has been able to meet. They also are able to address another population that we currently aren't serving, and that's the large immigrant population that is here in Palm Beach County, and so they are able.
I'm sorry,
able to serve them. Okay.
I mean, what's amazing, what's amazing is I'd like the listeners to really realize something. And can you also give them your website so that they can go and see the magnificent work that you guys do?
Oh, sure. It's www.urbanyouthimpact.com.
Okay, because it's something, when I took the tour there and the founder took me through the clinic, I was truly impressed because, first of all, it's a state-of-the-art clinic, and you not only serve youth, but you're also serving adults with a variety of services that do extend from optometry to GYN services.
Oh, so definitely, and that's something that makes for a better family. You know, if mom's healthy, then mom can take care of the children and really be a better parent instead of having to worry about her medical condition or her health care.
And what's beautiful, why to me your organization is just so important, and it's a model, and it's a model that the rest of America, I feel, can really look out to emulate, to learn from, because your organization is set in a community that is an at-risk community. However, you are providing for that community area, and if every other community were to engage in a similar program, I feel, whether you're a church or a nonprofit organization, and create a model that they can, or a strategy that they can borrow from and be guided by, all the communities would really be creating a subculture and a helping hand that would be more deliberate towards helping youth.
Definitely, and it's kind of interesting that you when Bill started this 11 years ago, that just he was just doing what he felt led to do, and then all of a sudden here we are again, years later, and there are individuals in the community and from around the country who are kind of coming to us saying, "Wow, how is it that you guys are doing what you're doing?" And sometimes I think when you're in it every day, you forget the extraordinary privilege that it is, obviously, to be involved in this kind of work, but also the real impact that you do have. And it's always nice to see when others want to come alongside you and replicate what it is that you're doing so that their community can also begin addressing some of these issues.
Now, what would you say to, right now, a listener and a nonprofit organization who will be listening to this and saying, okay, I want what they have. What are the components that have enabled Urban Youth to create a strong foundation?
You mean as far as from a funding standpoint, or
the components of a, what is it, like in a business, you know, in a business you have to have the administrator, you have to have your staffing, you have to have a program or a product line, everything. What components have really driven or have really helped Urban Youth to grow to such a degree where now it is, you know, successful?
I think, first of all, just the faithfulness of our president and founder. You know, there were probably times during those 11 years when things didn't really look like they were going to be successful, and just the fact that he was faithful, he was consistent, the relationships that he was able to build with people in the community, and we really are unique, I think, in the sense that we do receive funding from our county and city municipalities. We do receive funding from churches. We do receive funding from individuals, from foundations, and all of those people, businesses, all of those people working together have said, yes, this is an issue in the community, working with at-risk young people and developing them into positive, productive citizens is worth the money. It is worth the effort. It is worth, you know, sometimes the pain and blood, sweat, and tears that go into putting a program together. So I think that, again, that multi-pronged approach that you also address in the organization that you work with is really going to be the key and has been the key to being successful and to longevity, and for the community to see that, wow, this is not an organization that's going to be here for 2 years until the grant funding dries up and then they're going to go to the next big thing or the next place. The other thing that I think that's been very helpful for us has been just the evolvement of the types of services that we've offered. Originally, when Bill started out, he started out with a very small group of boys and a sports outreach. That was basically how he got to the students and was able to develop relationships with them. And then all of a sudden their moms and grandmas and sisters and brothers started kind of coming out to the football field where he was working with the students and said, who's this guy Bill and what's he all about and what's he doing? And out of that, a parent program grew. And then it was like, well, you know, that's great that we're working with these kids from a sports outreach standpoint, but they can't read and they're having difficulty in school and they're failing grades. Well, how about an academic after school program? So really, I think keeping our ear to the street and figuring out what is best going to meet the needs of the families that we're working with has been the key to the success of Urban Youth Impact.
See, I would say that, you know, I've taken down quite a few notes already from what you have said, and there is a system that it's a guiding principles of success, that there are no shortcuts, and you and Urban in Youth Impact and Bill has really created a foundation based on the faith, based on consistency, based on creating relationships, and also taking small steps. You know, you said you started with the youth program where he was basically, wasn't it a sports, you said a sports program?
Yes, with about 25 young men.
Okay, and then from then on, it was first engaging in that and doing something and in a relationship, and it was engaging and, you know, and earning that trust. And then, and again, through that, the consistency, and then you went to the parent program, and then it was the academic. So what's magnificent to note is that you have truly grown through your outreach, and you've been able to incorporate so many more of the needs one at a time rather than trying to engage in all of them at the same time.
Right, definitely. And sometimes I think you kind of can get a little too anxious and just say, okay, we're going to be all things to all people, and we're going to serve West Palm and Riviera and Delray Beach and all of these surrounding communities. And I think you really have to take a step back. And we even did that this year in some planning to say we want to have some depth to what we're doing. You know, it's great to have width and to say you're, you know, serving 15,000 people a year, but we really, relationship has been such a key from the very beginning. We really wanted to make sure that we were, you know, our roots were deep and that we were engaging with the families in a deep and meaningful way.
See, it's funny because in all my authenticity, when you said that, I said, that sounds like me, because I say, I want to help the youth of the world. I want to help the at-risk, and, you know, and it's not enough. Like, for me, it's not enough to just say, look, I'm going to help one child. But it really is about being aware, like an umbrella. You know, there's the umbrella that can harbor a lot of different components, but underneath that umbrella, there are specific areas and niches. And, you know, your organization, Urban Youth Impact, to me, truly is an icon, truly is a model, truly is an organization because of so many different components. It's just, you know, it's being run in such a way that the services are not being duplicated, the money's going where it needs to go, the children feel loved, and there are a lot of issues that I don't know if you can even give us an example, but there are a lot of serious situations that a lot of the youth that attend your organization are involved with or touched by, correct?
Yes, definitely. And I think the two biggest that kind of stick out in my mind the most, you know, and I've been here doing this work with Urban Youth Impact for the last 3 years, you know, but have been other places with working within the community and community organizing. And I think I'm always amazed at the number of our young women and young men who have dealt already, even at a very young age, third and fourth grade, with sexual abuse. And that's, you know, a huge, huge component. You know, I think the statistic I read somewhere said that 1 in 5 young ladies will be sexually abused by the time they're 18. And then I read another statistic that said within the inner city communities and in some of, you know, the minority populations, that number actually is 1 in 3. And, you know, you read the statistics and you always want to think, well, not our kids, not the kids in our program. And really we do see some of that and the ramifications of it and the implications of being sexually abused for both boys and girls. So that's kind of the first big thing, the first challenge I think that's difficult to address, especially as somebody who's providing an academic after-school program, and it opens up a whole can of behavioral elements that sometimes we have difficulty dealing with. But again, we had a partner that stepped up to the plate that said we want to be able to provide counseling for some of these young women, and so we are able to offer that, again, through a partnership because we're not experts in everything. The second big thing I think that strikes me working within the community in which we do is that HIV is still alive and well in South Florida, and we have a number of parents and mostly parents in our program that are facing living life and raising children with the disease. And it's easy to think that because there's medicine available and treatment available that everyone's living happy, productive lives. But we do. We see that, and we've had several families where the children have actually been orphaned because of HIV. And so those are probably the two biggest things that I think most listeners can kind of grab a hold of to say, wow, you know, these are really challenging life issues that we've got 8, 9, and 10-year-olds dealing with.
Wow. That's a lot to really, like you said, it's an after-school program, and all of a sudden you're dealing with all of these different components of truly what's evident in our society and in all of the, you know, all of the different communities. So now, going forward, what would you say you need in order to make your outreach have wider impact? What would you like to see happen?
Well, always money, right? Isn't that the first thing that pops into your mind? But one of the things that really has been impressed on us is getting to the students younger. And that could involve, for instance, opening up a daycare or preschool. That's been a big burden, I think, as the staff talk about meeting the needs of the families. Another thing would be to actually open up a school here at our center where the students would be with us through, you know, out the majority of their day instead of just those 2 to 3, maybe 4 hours after school where we have them. So I think those are kind of two. The other thing, too, is working with other communities, maybe even within the South Florida area or perhaps across the country at duplicating some of the services that we are able to provide and talking with them about some of the practices that we've been able to put into place would definitely, you know, to have a wider community impact. Obviously, it's funny you mentioned the new building and that there's 32,000 square feet, and we still have a large portion of that that's not been renovated and it's not been developed. Once that building renovation is completed, it'll be a full-fledged youth center with a recording studio, dance studio, auditorium seating. We'll be able to bring in, you know, concerts and speakers such as yourself and to come in and to really impact larger groups of students. And so we're excited about that. But even once that opens, we really foresee us needing more space. You know, there's so many students, and that's one thing I always say is that after-school programs don't compete for students. There are definitely enough young people out there within the school-age population that we need more after-school programs, and we need to be funded. We really do, and whether that comes from government assistance or from some of those private business partnerships, but really to be able to provide the level of programming that our young people need. One of the things that we I should mention is that with the summer work program, that's how we met you, and you came in to that six-week program that works mostly with high school students and did a fabulous leadership skills training program for them. And those are the kinds of things really that our young people, how do I get a job? How do I compete with everybody else that's out there looking for a job? So really the stakes continue to grow while we continue to impact kindergarten, you know, through fifth grade from an elementary standpoint. Our middle and high school population really is saying we need more. And that
you know
we
what? You've made a, when you said wider community impact, that to me is truly what Rise to Win for our youth movement is, because the training that needs and the education that needs to come in is 21st century education that deals not just with our mindset, but it deals with how we're doing business. How are we using the, you know, for example, you and I right now using the internet to do a show. This is a way that you, your organization can, for example, communicate with the rest of the West Palm Beach community, whether it's, you know, there, I mean, there's so many ways to incorporate what's developing in the world and in e-commerce, through e-commerce, that can really lower costs, that can create resourcefulness. And, you know, just having an organization that is open and flexible like you and Bill are in Urban Youth Impact, that's willing to engage in partnerships, I think is the key, you know, with working within the community itself. I think if, you know, with I already see things coming about where a part of, let's say, a building can be used for training all these other nonprofit organizations, and you guys are the ones that are, you know, delivering it, and here you can charge a nominal fee, and people can be trained, and then they can go back into their organizations and leverage with each other. You know, the whole, are we working together to support our youth? And I really see that because of resources, this is where we are being forced by evolution to, you know, stand on the same platform and say, what are we going to do? What do we need to do in order to support these kids? Because we must support them. Like you said, these high school kids are saying, we need more, and they do. In order to compete now in the world, it's, you know, essential skills, those skills that we need just to survive, those aren't the skills that are going to help us thrive. So, you know, I commend you because you, you know, I think the whole world would love to come in and say, can we participate in what you're doing? And you can only support just so many, you know, such a wide area. But the secret
exactly.
is replicating.
And that is going to be the key.
Yeah. Well, you know, definitely, I said it's this is about bringing and linking resources together and resources, creating that framework of ministry partners and nonprofit organizations and educators and businesses who really, you know, see it to come together. And now the last question I would like to ask you is if you could speak to President-elect Barack Obama, what would you like to let him know or tell him or share with him?
Well, actually, I think that, and I thought a little bit about the question as you were posing it. I'd like to think that he is already on the right track. I've seen some of his remarks on changing the odds in urban America, and just his heart for young people living in inner city pockets, urban pockets. Making sure that the neighborhoods that the kids grow up in are safe and that their destiny basically isn't determined by the time you know, before they're born, basically. And I think that he's done a great job already of at least investigating some of the best practices. I know that he was particularly impressed with the Harlem Children's Zone. And that was very encouraging because, for those of you that aren't aware of Harlem Children's Zone, they are on a much grander scale, much larger budget, much bigger staff, many more people being impacted in Harlem and New York City has actually taken this block, this square blockage of Harlem, and really made a difference in the lives of individuals from birth through graduation from high school, and is really making a difference in changing the odds, like he said. So his one of the things that he stated prior to being elected was that he would like to replicate that program throughout the country. And I think that when you have programs that are successful, like Urban Youth Impact and like so many more that are out there in the community. But that's very encouraging because it lets you know that after-school programming and family empowerment really are on his heart and hopefully on his agenda, and that there will be funding. He also has talked about the possibility of the federal private partnerships, and I think that those are a good first step. So we'll see. So, I mean, I definitely would tell him that I think he's on the right track and moving forward in the right direction with that, and he should come visit us.
Exactly, and to keep Urban Youth Impact as a beacon of hope and change in our community, because that's who you truly are. So it has been, Pam, a pleasure to have you on Block Talk Radio on the Rights to Win for Our Youth. You know, this is something that's incredible, and I think that it is about people stepping up and doing what they need to do and also joining forces. So I consider you and Bill and your center just an amazing place, and I for sure support it. Will do my best to help others, you know, really link them to what you're doing. So thank you very much. It has been a pleasure. And
well,
I
thank
look
you again, like
to,
I said, for having me.
Well, you're welcome, and you will be able to share this with so many other people, and I know it will go far. So thank you again, and I will see you soon.
Okay, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, happy Thanksgiving. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Sandra Bueno with Pam Newsom, Inspector of Urban Youth Impact, and tune in tomorrow as I will be featuring another guest from one of the organizations here in West Palm Beach that are making a difference, not just for the community, but for our youth, as youth are those who are going to lead us forward. Once again, thank you, and see you again.